This is our 20 sermons in 20 minutes session. I'm going to just very briefly say, I don't know how often it's been said about the lead statement. How many of you ever heard anything about the lead statement? The statement that introduces all the main points. All right, so I will pause at points to say my lead statement with this sermon is this, and it'll introduce every main point. I'm going to start with a series of lessons. These are about the mountains. I had, of course, a good backdrop in the Rockies, but you don't have to have that because these are Bible mountains. The first one is walking with God through the mountains and the valleys. Background on the Bible mountains. That's a great way to introduce this. All the great events in Bible history that were on mountains. And I mentioned four mountains and valleys. Number one, there is the mountain of joy and the valley of sorrow. Number two, there is the mountain of victory and the valley of defeat. Number three, there's the mountain of courage and the valley of fear. Number four, the mountain of life and the valley of death. It's kind of the introductory lesson. And with all of these, there are corresponding mountains in Scripture, which you can find very easily. Number two, sermon two, come to the mountain to be healed. And your text will be Matthew. So this is going to be an overview of Matthew. Come to the mountain to be healed. Lead statement, Jesus is able to heal. Number one, Jesus is able to heal every kind of problem. Matthew 4:23. Number two, Jesus is able to heal instantly. Matthew 8:16, Matthew 15:28. I would apply that to salvation. Hebrews 8:12 remembers those sins no more. Number three, Jesus is able to heal compassionately. Tells me about Jesus. Matthew 9:35 and 36. Matthew 14:14. Number four, Jesus is able to heal us all. Matthew 12:15 and following. Number five, Jesus is able to heal only those willing to be healed. Matthew 13:15. Sermon number three, come to the mountain to be fed. Text would be Matthew 15:32 through 38. Come to the mountain to be fed. Number one, it was compassionate feeding. Verse 32. Four different occasions in Matthew where Matthew points out Jesus' compassion for the people. Number two, it was heavenly feeding. Heavenly feeding. Verse 34 through 36a. Number three, it was delegated feeding. Verse 36b, through the hands of the disciples, as it is today. Great Commission. Number four, it was satisfactory feeding. 37, Jesus gives enough. Not only that, number five, it was abundant feeding, verse 37 and 38. Compassionate, heavenly, delegated, satisfactory, and abundant feeding. Number four, come to the mountain to learn God's will for your life. Text is Hebrews 12, 18 to 29. Number one, look to the church. Verse 23. Number two, look to the Christ. Verse 24. Development under that, He gives us a new covenant. And He gives us cleansing blood. Number three, look to the Word. Verse 25 through 27. And number four, look to your heart. Hebrews 12 and verse 28. Your attitude and disposition is key to doing God's will in your life. Number five, a funeral sermon for the death of an infant or child. Text would be 2 Samuel 12, 18 to 24. I had to do one of these and I couldn't find any material anywhere. You will probably face that at some point. Of course, you know the background of this, David and Bathsheba and the loss of their son. Number one, do not forget your relationship to God. Verse 20. Number two, remember that your lives will resume. Verse 20 through 22. Not today or tomorrow, but it will. It'll never be the same. But number three, let a heavenly reunion motivate you. Verse 23. And number four, find comfort in one another. Verse 24. From here on in, I take it on faith. I've already lost count. I think it's six. A great example of a Christian marriage. This is my redemption time for last year's sermon. And that couple I was trying to honor from Acts that I got wrong. This is on Aquila and Priscilla. A great example of a Christian marriage. Lead statement. Aquila and Priscilla were together in... Aquila and Priscilla were together in, number one, problems. By the way, no one text here. They're only found in five texts. This would go under your development and introduction. They're found in Acts 18, 2 through 4. Acts 18, 2 through 4. Acts 18, 24 through 28. Romans 16, 3. 1 Corinthians 16, 19. And 2 Timothy 4:19. All right, so back to our lead statement. Aquila and Priscilla were together in, number one, problems. And you'll find that in these texts. Number two, they were together in evangelism. There were four key elements. Let me just develop this under evangelism. Four key elements. Number one, listening. Acts 18:26. Number two, tact. Verse 26. Clear communication, verse 26. And then vision. What did they see in Apollos? What did he become? Number three, they were together in sacrifice. They risked their necks. Number four, they were together in hospitality. And number five, they were together in service. I really like that Ananias and Sapphira. They're a great couple. All right. Number next. Homesick for a place to which I've not yet been. This is a sermon on heaven. I draw heavily on Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Lead statement, I'm homesick for heaven because. Number one, there I'll never grow old. Number two, there I'll sing with the angelic chorus. Number three, there I'll join the glad reunion that will never cease. Don't you look forward to coming back to the focal point every year? Some of you I don't see until I get here. It's a reunion that will never cease. Number four, there no tear will ever stain my cheek or dim my eyes. Number five, there I'll never stand beside another open grave. Next sermon, which among four are you? This is the account of the Good Samaritan, the parable. Luke 10, 30 through 37. Number one, some people initiate hardship. Those are the thieves. Number two, some people ignore hardship. Priest and the Levite. Number three, some people eliminate hardship. What about the hero of this story? He's compassionate, verse 33. This is under number three, by the way. He's compassionate. He's caring, verse 34. And he's conscientious, verse 35. Some people eliminate hardship. Number four, all people experience hardship at one time or another. Next sermon, we are family. It's kind of neat. You talk about nicknames. I was listening to a sports show, and they were talking about great nicknames of all times in sports. 1979 Pirates had a bunch of them. You had the Caveman. You had Scrap Iron, the Hammer, the Frying Dutchman, Matt the Scat, Crazy Horse, Mad Dog, Cobra, all these other names you can find them. But their theme song was "We Are Family." The Pointer Sisters or the Sister Sledge or whoever wrote that, 1979 hit. That was them. Book of Ephesians is your text. Five things about family from this book, and you'll find this in Ephesians. You study it. Number one, family loves. Trace the word love through the book of Ephesians. Divine love and then the love that's to be in the family. Number two, family accepts. Accepts. Number three, family cheers. And in that, I key in on the word together that's found as a thread throughout the book of Ephesians, one of the key words. Number four, family unites. That's chapter four. And then family helps. Family helps. We are family. Pittsburgh Pirates have nothing on us. Next sermon, from Obadiah, that's your text. It's called Be Humble or Be Humbled. Now, background, the book of Obadiah with Genesis chapter 25. Verse 22 through 26, that's where it all begins. The birth of Jacob and Esau, and just trace it all the way through Old Testament history until you get to the book of Obadiah. 3 points. Number one, we have Edom's problem, pride. Number two, God's reaction, punishment. Edom's problem, pride. God's reaction, punishment. Number three, Judah's hope, possession. And there's where I make some application, just very quickly. As it is with these verses in Obadiah, number one, we anticipate the coming of the great day of the Lord. Number two, if we're Christians, we've been freed from destruction. Number three, God wants us to possess our possessions. And He wants us to see the joy of being in the kingdom. When the captives return, next sermon. Psalm 120 through 134, those were all called the songs of ascent. They were sung together. And you can background that as they made the pilgrimage up for their feast day. Psalm 126 is in the middle of that. That's your text. Lead statement in this psalm, we see that, number one, captivity means sorrow. Number two, the Lord restores our soul. That's verses 1 through 4. Number three, restoration means joy. First half of this psalm. It's upbeat. And you can apply that. The hardest sermon to preach. That's what I call this next one. You might could guess the text. I don't know. Matthew 19, 3 through 12. Lead statement. In Matthew 19, 3 through 12, we find, number one, the test question, verse 3. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? Number two, the history of marriage, verse 4 through 8. Four words under that from verses 4 through 8. The history of marriage is recorded, verse 4. Recorded. Have you not read? Number two, it's ancient, verse 4. It goes back to the beginning, God's original design. Number three, it's specific. We can talk about it between a man and a woman, verse 4 and 5 and so forth. Number four, it became tainted, verse 8. Number three in this text, we have the law of Christ on this matter, verse 9 through 12. Under that, Jesus gives the rule, verse 9. Number two, under that, Jesus gives an exception, verse 9. Third, under that, Jesus gives the extent of the rule's application, verse 9. Whosoever. So we have the rule, we have the exception, we have the extent of the application, whosoever. And we have Jesus' explanation in verses 11 and 12. The most powerful defense of the Lord's position on this is verse 11 and 12, where the disciples are saying, what's going on here? Why, if you're saying this, it's better not to get married. And then Jesus gives that illustration of the eunuchs. Clear. Could not be more clear. Good deeds. Is that five? Okay, got 5 minutes. The text of good deeds is Titus. So the whole book of Titus, which emphasizes, as you know, good deeds. Number one, good deeds show the right example. Chapter 2, verse 7. Number two, good deeds show where our passions lie. Chapter 2, 14. Number three, good deeds show our faith in God. Chapter 3 and verse 8. Number four, good deeds meet pressing needs. 3:14. Speed up, slow down, same pace. I've got like 3 minutes. Good? Okay. I just saw one thumbs up, and I'm going to take that as everybody. I am eager. Background introduction, of course, Paul says that in Romans chapter 1. Go into how Paul was eager to be a soul winner, Romans 1:14-17. But the text is Matthew 28:18-20. I am eager. So taking Paul's words, applying it to the Great Commission, I am eager, number one, because of the Christ, verse 18. Now the 3 points are, I am eager because of the Christ, because of the command, and because of the comfort, 18, 19, and 20. All right, but going back just to the very little development, because of the Christ, He is the one who draws near. Look at that part of it. When He comes up to the disciples who are afraid when they see Him up on that mountain in Galilee, but He's also the one with all authority. They don't offset one another. They go together. He draws near. He has all authority. That's my Jesus. Number two, because of the command. Look at the subordinate participles there of how you make disciples. You baptize and you teach. Talk about that. And then number three, because of the comfort. Soul winning's not easy, but He's with us always. Conquering complacency. Text is 1 Corinthians 10, 31-33. You probably don't need that where you are, but every once in a while we need to preach on complacency. Number one, do all to God's glory. Verse 31. I want you to see what's there. I know you probably don't have time to write it down, but am I more interested in my knowledge or my brother? Am I more interested in my rights or my brother? Do all to God's glory. Number two, give no offense. Chapter 10, verse 32. Now, this is part of a section of 1 Corinthians. Back earlier, in giving no offense, 8:13 says, I will not cause him to stumble. 9:12, I will cause no hindrance to the gospel. Number three, I will seek his good. Chapter 10:24. And then number three, please all men in all things. 10:33. Now, you've got to clarify that, and the text does. To seek the profit of many, not my own, and so that they may be saved. Does that mean I'm done? Okay. Press on to maturity. Next outline. Text is Hebrews chapter 5. Press on to maturity. There are four important elements that will help us to press on to maturity. Number one, a priest. The key of Hebrews 5 through 10. A partaking. A pressing. And a maturity. A perfection, if you want to see for that. All right. Keep my commandments. John 14:15. 3 points. Today we are to keep His commandments. Number two, love must motivate us to keep His commandments. Number three, love is proven by obedience. All right. How many sermons? Anybody numbering them? Anybody writing them down? I'm kidding. Please don't answer that. Let me do two more. And then you look like you're writing them, or you're writing somebody or something. All right, two more lessons, and then I'll quit. I'm going to not develop one, and I will develop the other. The one is, call this DNA. about the body, spiritually. The body of Christ is distinct. Talk about that. Number two, the body of Christ is New Testament. Somebody said well today, we're not from Alexander Campbell, we're from the New Testament. Number three, the body of Christ is active. To be sound, we've got to be working, healthy, moving. And then finally, I'll just develop this one very little bit and I'll be done. To the praise of His glory. I love this text, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. From our text, we find three things. Number one, the Father selected us to the praise of His glory. That's verse 3 through 6. The Father selected us to the praise of His glory. He chose us. He selected us to be holy and blameless, 3 and 4. He chose us to be His children, verse 5. And He chose us to be the recipients of His grace, verse 6. He selected us to the praise of His glory. By the way, that's a very interesting, and to me at least a little difficult study to understand what that phrase means. It's found 3 times in the chapter, to the praise of His glory. Does that mean that God is praised by the things that He does by us? Or that in doing those things He's praised? Very, very interesting study. It's found 3 times. Once the Father, once the Son, once the Holy Spirit. Number 2, the Son saved us to the praise of His glory. Father selected us, Son saved us, verse 7 through 12. I can't develop it as much as I want to, but you have redemption in that concept. You have revelation and reward right there in those verses. And then finally, the Spirit sealed us to the praise of His glory. That's verse 13 and 14. Talk about what a seal does. It serves several purposes. And what the Bible teaches about that in the New Testament applies. And that's it.